trình phát thanh dành cho đồng bào Việt Nam ở xa tổ quốc. Chương trình phát thanh cho đồng bào Việt Nam. Chương trình dành cho đồng bào Việt Nam ở xa.
Hello, welcome to another episode of the Xin Chào Homie podcast. I am your host, Nehemiah. We have a very special episode for you today. It's just one is about improvisational comedy in Vietnam. And joining us is a very special panel full of special people. First, let's meet our panel. Joining me on my side is the legendary Huy Doan.
Hi, guys. What's up?
And next we have our special guests, veterans of the improv comedy community in Hanoi. First we have Lê Kim Thanh, Bex, and Sammy Thomas.
Yeah.
Sammy Thomas?
So, Sammy Thomas?
Sammy Thomas. That's a Sammy.
Who's that's a Sam. Thomas?
Sam.
Who's Thomas? Thomas couldn't make it today, I'm afraid. So just Sam today.
Just Sam. It's cool. So where are you guys now? So could you just tell us our audience, where are you guys now? What are you doing at the moment?
So I'm in London with Thomas, but he can't be here, I'm afraid. I was in Hanoi, but I left. And during the time that I was in Hanoi, I was a member of the Rotten Grapes, as Ha Ha Hanoi used to be known. But yeah, now I'm back in London.
What about you, Bex?
I'm in Hoi An, Vietnam, living a rock star life, doing some small improv workshops at the weekends. Had a little one last Sunday, and hopefully be doing the same again tomorrow. Otherwise, just teaching online. Also, without Thomas, missing him a lot.
I know. Yeah. Thomas. Thomas is cheating on me. What the hell? Thomas?
I don't know.
He told me he couldn't be here because he had something important to do.
He told me the same.
There was a bit of a scheduling conflict.
Yeah.
And Tan, what about you? Where are you right now?
I'm in Hanoi, and I'm doing improv, but like now I'm doing improv for mainly Vietnamese community. So that like we have weekly open stage online on Zoom. So that like I have people from Da Nang and Saigon joining as well, and it's really promising, and like, I'm really excited to join the episode to share about that.
Mm-hmm. That's great. We have very three different places, and the fact that there are three Vietnamese on this panel, and only one of them is actually based in Vietnam.
Yeah.
And two English, but only one of them is based in England.
Oh, so we have like each one in each different city now.
Yeah, I said that before you came on. I was like, Huy is a Vietnamese person in Germany, and Bex is part German and living in Vietnam, so
ooh, it's all melding.
You should go to visit each other's family.
That's insane, yeah.
Maybe your brother and sister.
Oh, yeah. Miss you.
So let's start with the first question, and I think this is the most important one. What exactly is improv comedy?
Yeah, I'm very apologize. Our host does not do any research. So
I kind of know what it is, but I just want to hear like a
actual
definition from you guys. This is for our audience. You know, our audience.
Don't know where we live. Tang, do you want to answer that?
I think I would love to hear Sammy answer that, because like I haven't seen him for a long time, and like I don't even know if like he remember what improv is. So I'm testing you.
Okay, so obviously improv comedy, break it down. Improv or improvised means there's no script, and comedy means that it's funny, or at least it's meant to be. Doesn't always work that way. So effectively, that's kind of like the very basics of it. Within that, there's kind of different ways to do it. So to talk about what us guys do, we have kind of like a group, as opposed to just two people. And we need some inspiration. So we'd usually take a word from the audience or a story perhaps, and then we'd use that as the inspiration to make a totally improvised comedic scene, using the members of the team to play different characters. There's like differences between styles of improv and long and short form, but yeah, that's kind of like advanced level, so maybe that will have to be later on.
Yeah. So if you hear it, like, you can imagine that we go on stage as a group, and we take a suggestion from the audience, from the audience, maybe like it can be a word or a sentence or like anything at all, and we improvise the scene. Sounds like a thing for lazy people, but we do have to practice a lot to kind of like train our group mind and like the technique of like object work and those kind of stuff to make it up to the script that we don't have.
Yeah, that's a good point, because we don't have like any objects either. So because obviously it's improvised, so we don't know what the scene's going to be about. So we don't have like anything, you know, like whatever you might need, a phone, a sword. Whatever.
Four chairs.
We have chairs. Yeah, that's the only thing. That's good. So everything that we need in the scene in terms of like objects, we would improvise by kind of miming it, I guess would be the easiest way to explain it. And we call that object work.
Yeah. We only have each other.
So like...
That's much better. There's many lessons from improv that apply to life, and that is probably the first one. You only have each other.
Yeah, I do find people who do improv have better mental health than stand-up comedians.
Obviously, man. Obviously, yes. Yes, that's the thing, you know, like, you know, the first time I saw improv, it's just like, why are you guys so positive about things? that's my mindset. Like, it takes me like way too long, you know, before I could just get that out, because like, why are you guys so positive about everything? It's just like, what?
That's so funny. I mean, like part of improv is saying yes to stuff, because like, you know, like if someone has an idea and you say no, then you don't have any idea. But yeah, I suppose taken to the extreme, then like we seem really excitable. But you know, maybe we're suffering from mania, you know. I'm not really sure if our mental health is any better. We're just probably like less on the depressed spectrum and more on the manic spectrum, I think.
And I think one point is that because like we don't think and we cannot think too much because there's no time to think. So that's why we don't seem so depressed, but who knows?
I don't know, from your look, I think you're also depressed as well. Yeah, but
if it goes badly, it's really depressing.
That's a very concrete definition from Sam. And so I would just like to talk more about like what got you guys into improv, like especially in Vietnam of all places to do improv.
What was the question? Sorry.
So what got you guys into improv? Like, especially within in Vietnam.
So for me, I guess like I had been interested in kind of acting before. And so I just kind of looked up what was going on in Hanoi, and I found that there was a class being taught by Lom Le, who's the founder of Rotten Grapes, which morphed into Ha Ha Hanoi. So I just went along And yeah, I just kind of met people there. And it's, yeah, I'd kind of done a bit of improvised stuff before, but like, I think within like the acting community, like people kind of think improv is like the kind of loser younger brother, you know, like they bring him out to do a little bit, but then they kind of hide him away afterwards. So it's like, but I found I actually prefer improv to like scripted acting. So, you know, it's, that was a huge moment for me,
yeah,
in terms of like my own interests and hobbies.
Yeah, I mean, thank God you didn't find improv on Tinder, you know. It's just so, it's gonna be so weird, you know. You're on Tinder,
you try stand up on Tinder. I mean, I can see like a few one-liners that might go pretty well.
Yeah. Give me a suggestion.
Oh, yeah. This is like improv.
Actually, that's my story.
And what about you?
Actually, that's my story because like I met a guy on OkCupid, and he was the one brought me into improv. So like our first day is what was the improv show of the Rotten Waves. So like we went there and like at our first date, like all the thing that he talked was like, I think you really will fit this. And like, okay, I will try. But I didn't try at all until like he left the country, he left Vietnam, and like I was like, okay, now it's less awkward than I will try it with the group. Because like I think it would be awkward if like two people who in the relationship, like in the same group of acting of improv. So like I was like, okay, I will wait. And yeah, that.
And we didn't take part in this, but the group did actually run a speed dating improv night.
Mm.
So like the Tinder thing, maybe that isn't, I don't really know how it went, like I wasn't part of that.
I wasn't in it either.
Well, there you
so,
go
like, okay. So like you met, yeah, so like you met a guy on Tinder and then he just showed you to improv.
Okay, Cupid. Yeah. I never use Tinder.
Okay. Yeah, Tinder is for stand up.
Yeah.
I can't be more to my show.
Yeah, and like what got me really into improv is that my background is education, and I found it like really applicable for the kind of like method of teaching on in my class. So like it's really kind of like, as Sam said before, like improv is something that you can use in life and like use for the teachers as well. So like I
that's very true.
Yeah.
As I mean, I was an English teacher in Vietnam, so like effectively, most of my life was spent improvising teaching anyway.
Who needs less of
my old employers?
Yeah.
So true.
Yeah. And what about you, Bex?
Well, similarly to Sam, I was looking around online, seeing what there was to do in Hanoi. I was getting a bit fed up of always going out and boozing. I mean, it was great, but you know, it wasn't really meeting proper people. So, and I wanted to have a bit of I wanted to also to find out what other things I'm good at. So I found, that Sammy was actually running, an improv workshop for the Rotten Grapes. And, yeah, I absolutely loved it. I wouldn't say that I was any good at the beginning, but fell in love, and I fell mainly in love with the community that is the Rotten Grapes, was the Rotten Grapes, still continues to be in my heart. And it's just been fabulous, and what a journey we've been on together, and how much things we've done, and it's been scary. I mean, don't get me wrong, improv is scary, but it's just, you just want to do it more and more, you know? And so I got really into it. So I still wouldn't say I'm amazing at it, but I love it. And like Sam said, it's really applicable to the classroom because, yeah, half the time you are like thinking on your feet, and you know, you've always got games in the back of your head. So if you're stuck for a little idea, or then you've always got your little improv games that you can do in the class. So it's fantastic for that. Or even if you're at a party and, you know, you're feeling like, you know, we can just get people talking by doing a bit of a word association or tell a story together. That's always really fun too.
Oh, okay. So I have a small questions. Like, have any of your students like asked you about improv? Like, did you guys tell your students that you're also doing improv in Vietnam when you was teaching in Vietnam?
For me, yes.
I mean, they love playing Zip Zap Zop. That's the kids love playing games in the class, but not really. Haven't really taught improv per se to my students. Other people outside of my classes, yes, but not to my students. What about you, Sam?
I can't remember. I feel like I might have invited some of my students to one of the shows, but I actually, I'm drawing a blank. But yeah.
Yeah, I guess there's a lot of things you do in the classroom are basically improv without a name.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, it's very organic, you know, improv is like, I mean, like, yeah, it's part of life, isn't it, you know, you're always improvising. So, yeah, it is very applicable.
Yeah.
So, have you guys ever improvised just say a Vietnamese name, like you don't know how to say it, and then you just decided to, you know, I don't know about that.
Well, Bex is particularly poor at pronouncing Vietnamese people's names. She was calling one of our members, his name is Lan, for over a year.
Is it not Lan?
No, it's Lan.
Oh,
so Bex is like hilariously poor with Vietnamese names. So
moments of secret.
I know, they even put me on stage and put me in a sketch for that as well. Just so you know.
Oh, yeah.
Is that the sketch about, what was that sketch? That was so
my
funny.
Name is Huong, I think. So like we're happy.
My name is Huong, yeah, Huong. That was so funny.
Huong? Huong. Is that Bex?
Yeah.
Yeah, it just sat was like Bex was a new employee in Vietnamese business and everyone had like a really similar name. It was so realistic because that is basically like, that was my experience of teaching when I came here. I was like, Nguyen Anh, Huong Anh, everything sounds the same. And I can't hear Kang Anh, or I couldn't hear the difference between any of them. So it's quite funny.
Yeah.
I mean, the worst thing you could have done is like give each of them a number.
Yeah, that would be terrible.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of them choose English names, but like that also doesn't work. Like, I had a class and I was like, okay, what are your names? And the first one was like, my name is Jisoo, some K-pop star. The next one was like, my name is Sophia. And the next one was like, my name is Hamster. And I was like, stop it. That's it. No English names. What are your Vietnamese names? You know? You can't call yourself Hamster, you know?
Yeah.
My name is Sam Thomas.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Sorry. We'll let it go.
Yeah, and what about you, Tan? You told us that you actually got some of your students.
Yeah.
To join
improv,
right? Yeah, because
I was teaching Japanese and like if you have kind of like the general imagine about the Japanese people, like it's kind of like really like in other people.
Yeah.
Like Germans. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, like yeah. Germans. Yep. And like I confidently, if they compare me to other teachers, I'm kind of like more playful and kind of like a little bit sneaky one with like a lot of games and stuff. And like sometimes like I have some students sometimes come up and ask me like, oh, where you get that games from? Like, I love that game. Like, sometimes I make them to kind of like, tell a story together. Like, each one say one sentence and like, they have to kind of like collab together to kind of like make the whole story or like to do some like, this is not the famous game, those kind of stuff. And like, they really like it and they ask me. And like, even now when I kind of like switched completely from teaching Japanese to doing improv full time, so that like my students really support me and like they sometimes come to the shows and stuff because like they know how wonderful it is. So, yeah.
Yeah, there's definitely like a loving vibe in the improv community, isn't there? I see that now.
Yeah.
Is it not like that in stand-up? Are you guys like do stand-up together, don't you? Like you like a lot of people rehearse together before shows and stuff?
Not really. It's just because stand-up is, you know, it's a very lonely crowd. Like you only turn up together at the actual show, whereas the rehearsal, you have to like basically you write your own. You do a lot of solo work. You know, you write your own script. You rehearse on your own time. Mm. Then you just turn up and do your like 10 minutes. After that, you might hang out with the other comics after the show, but after that, you go home and cry. That's
you just go home and cry and just thinking about how improv is just so positive.
Stop.
Just be jealous. We just get jealous of improv all the time, you know.
Oh, well, you could always come and join.
Yeah.
Don't be shy.
Sounds like a swingers party, doesn't it?
Come be part of our groups thing.
Like, oh yeah, I usually do it on my own, you know. I've done it with someone else before.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a group mind thing, you know. You even warm up together before shows with improv and tell each other, you know, you get your energy up and then you go, I've got your back.
Yeah.
Because it is all about making your partner look good. That's what it's about.
Yeah.
Like and you fail together and you have fun together. And if you're having fun on stage, that makes the best show.
It's so good.
Yeah. And like, we have some kind of like really physical exercises that I really like, that like one just kind of like let the body fall down and the other have to kind of like hold it to make sure that it's not kind of like on the floor, so that
I was about to talk about the massage
right after that, but yeah.
I feel like we are badly misrepresenting improv to, like, I can't imagine people listening to this being like, oh, this sounds fun. Yeah, they'll be like, what the fuck is wrong with these people? These are weirdos.
Yeah, I'm thinking of doing improv. Yeah.
It is, like, but, like, sometimes you just can't describe it, but, like, you're doing a scene and you, like, somehow reach a point and, like, everybody knows that they're going there, but nobody said that, you know? It's like, you just can't, like, contemplate that, you know? It's like there's games you play, like where you like write down a piece of word on a paper and then you're improvising a scene and then you just have to pick up the line and just like add it into the scene. But it's just so weird, like when you go down one track, so often you find that you pick up a line that just perfectly fits and you it's completely random. You don't know how you got there, but it just happens over and over and over again. So you just feel like there's some kind of like kind of secret hand that's kind of like manipulating this thing and bringing it all together. So that's why I like it, you know. It's just like this crazy energy that you just somehow ends up somewhere and you don't know how you got there.
Yeah,
definitely is. It's always high energy, isn't it? It's just very
It's fairly high energy because if it's low energy it generally doesn't work. You know, I guess that's different to stand up, you know, like you can make that your thing. Yeah,
I think with long form, you can sometimes have lulls. Then it's all about, you know, as a team, that somebody can see what the scene needs and then come from the outside and come in with their idea, which then brings up the energy again. So, yeah.
For long form, I feel like it's more like a movie, like, you know, like there's three acts. And like they kind of like establish, and then like there's some kind of like reaching the peak, and then like everything resolve. So like at some point it had to be kind of like had lower energy, so that like after that it can go down, go up again. So yeah, I think it's more like a movie with long form.
Yeah, and like, are there any heckles?
Of course.
Sure. Not really. A little bit, but not really. Can you think of anyone who heckled us before?
I think like for stand-up heckle might be a big problem, but like improv, we can turn heckle into a suggestion. So we kind of like don't take it really kind of like badly. Because like everything they say out is a suggestion. So that like we can take it or we can leave it.
Yeah. Okay, so like, yeah.
Yeah, and what was the what were some of the wild suggestion that you got from the audience?
We have
had
suggestions are either weirdly specific or just totally vague and like banana. Yeah. You just get that every time.
Pineapple.
I think the thing about improv, like from the audience through to the actors, is like people are acting out like their subconscious thoughts, you know? So it's like people are just like thinking penis. All the time, you know? Like a penis. Banana.
But,
so like we get a lot of that weirdly sexual ones.
Yeah. Or I have one, cheese. Because like I remember that like at some point, like in 1 month, we have a lot of suggestions that they say cheese, like too many. And like I was like, okay, I'm sick of it. Because like if we have different suggestions, like we can kind of like create it in different ways, but like if we have one over and over and over again, like we have to kind of like dig it in to find a new thing to play. So it's a little bit exhausting.
Yeah, I just imagine like, you know, because you guys take heckles and then you do like a sketch, I would just imagine like someone heckle and then you guys just went, all right, let's do a sketch about our moms. That's
I don't get it.
Yeah. It's like, you know, someone just say bad about your mom, you know, as an heckle, and then you guys have to take it and do it like a sketch.
Yeah, that's perfect, actually. You could totally take that and run with it. Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
I remember that during the comedy festival, we had the suggestion of bisexuality. And, we ended up turning that into a really great story. We were doing The Village. So it was, we turned our village into two-way town where everyone was a little bit bi-curious. And it was fantastic. It really, because everyone's a little bit bi-curious, right? And we had two sheriffs that were battling it out, and it was great. It really worked.
Yeah. And I think like I don't know if we call it technique, but like thing about improv is that you can associate things. So like, go back to the example that, Mia said, that like if someone like heckles saying that thing about your mom, like you can not directly take it, but like you can kind of like associate with being rude. So like you make a scene about being rude. You understand what I mean? So that we can kind of like a little bit kind of like slip it into different ways, different directions. So that we use the kind of like imagination to redirect the heckle, the suggestion.
Yeah, it's just nice. It's nice to have the power of imagination.
That's something.
And where would you usually do your shows in Hanoi?
It used to be the Learning Hub, but Tang has been doing shows all over. Actually, we've done them in quite a few venues. In Tayho, there was
we do have like this unwanted record of everywhere that we've performed that has ended up closing down. like literally, and now the Learning Hub is closing, so it's a full house.
Oh.
Yeah, we did something at the Pirate's Den, and then that got closed down. Then we did someone at like, what was that place called
in
Yang, yeah, that's
yes. Den.
The Den? What was it?
Click Space.
Click Space?
Is it?
The Click
Space. Yeah. That got closed down.
That got closed down.
I think that's also one of the reasons that I decided to change the name of the group.
Really? That's so Vietnamese.
I'm like, yeah. I'm Vietnamese though.
Oh, it's got a bad omen to it.
The improv curse.
Yeah.
Yeah, the curse of the improv. Oh.
Yeah. And also
so
like
angry,
yeah.
An angry stand up ancestor is unhappy about like things being taken away.
Yeah. And that for the regular show and like for the big show, like in Vietnamese we have the show for the Lunar New Year. Or sometimes like in English we have big show for kind of like festival or just we want to do it. So like we kind of like rent a the whole theater with like 200-300 seats.
Oh yeah.
Less fast. Mm. Like I miss it.
Less fast, yeah.
Or sometimes one time I think there were you and Bex because I was hosting the event, so I was not in the show, but you and Bex was in the you were in the TEDx in Bean School. I think there were around 500 people, like that's quite a lot.
Oh, yeah, shit.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, we did a show to like 500 people, so that was amazing,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
That really was.
And now we're doing it
online. Yeah, I mean, like, I'm so...
Oh, yeah, Sam?
Huh? I was just going to say, I'm super grateful to Improv because, before we came on air, he was asking me, because I used to be on VTV, the television channel in Vietnam, and I got that job from being in the improv group because Lom knew someone at VTV and he liked my style, so he put me forward for an interview at VTV and I ended up working on the television. So like I had some incredible experiences, you know, like obviously being at TEDx, like 500 people being on the television. So yeah, it is a gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, not just any television channel, is the official television channel.
VTV4,
yeah.
Though. So
VTV4, but it is...
excited here.
Well, it's like BBC Three, but you know what I mean?
BBC Three isn't even on air anymore, yeah. Is it? It's taken out.
Well, I mean, it's the same vibe.
Yeah, I did meet someone who like said, "Are you off the television?" I was like, "This is the most surreal experience of my life. I felt like a celebrity." You know? So, that's hilarious. But yeah. Yeah, I worked at VTV. And I guess, in a way, like, now I'm doing journalism in London, so I could really say that, like, you know, I improv a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that's one of the only thing about improv, huh?
To get the job.
Yeah, improv the job. That's it.
So, yeah, audience, if you want to find a new job, maybe you can try out.
Yeah, I'm gonna do that.
You can improvise some scenes of your boss. I mean, a lot of scenes are scenes of people getting sacked. That's like one of the main themes. So,
well, like sexual harassment is.
Oh no!
See, now you're in the territory of weird suggestions.
Yeah.
We did, yeah. I was thinking about your question as the worst thing that someone ever said. The only time in the show where someone was like, "Oh," like someone said rape as a suggestion, and the audience just went, "Oh." It was like that was like super awkward. Like there was no like associating the word. It was just like a really awkward moment. And
what was the word? I missed that.
Rape. Someone said rape.
Oh God! Yeah. What are you gonna?
And like it was just it was so awkward.
Oh, no.
But yeah, that's people do. Their mind goes to weird places, you know.
Yeah. Also, they're trying to, you know, they're trying to pull one over on you, aren't they, as well? Like, what can you do with that?
What, make it, like, too difficult for us to do something with it.
Yeah. Or, like, something have the kind of, like, the vibe of being racist or sexist or kind of, like, about religion. Mm. Like, that's something that we want to avoid.
Yeah, 100%.
I don't know. Do you think we avoid like low hanging fruit as like comedy topics? I'm not sure.
The Rotten
Grapes. There's like, so much like sexual innuendo and like double wordplay. Although we try to avoid it. Generally, the rule in improv is like if you're trying too hard to like make puns off like words, then basically, you know, like you're at a dead end creatively, and you need to get some new impetus.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
So, like, are there any, like, you know, safe venues like you guys mentioned, like, you know, like sometimes you have, would have to do like in some places that you know that there's going to be a lot of drunk people, that kind of stuff, like in stand up. So like it's a very civilized event.
Yeah, I think improv is quite civilized from my experience. We don't have drunken people heckling too much, you know. I think it is a bit more niche, you know, than stand up.
Yeah.
And people play a different role, you know, like the audience and the performers, it's more collaborative, you know. We ask them to be involved and give suggestions. We speak to them. We sometimes get them up on stage, you know, so. There's like the way that the divide between the audience and the performer works is totally different to stand up. So I think that kind of encourages different kind of participation from the audience.
Yeah, because we could pick on you at any moment if we want to.
Yeah.
Which I suppose you could in stand up too, but in a different way. Like we might ask you to come up on stage and perform with us.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough. Stand up is very narcissistic. Art form, to be honest.
Yeah. We have to be the performer and the cheerleader at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
this one. I miss doing that in person because recently I think for a few months I only do it online. So
how do you get around the who speaks when thing?
Who speaks when? Ah, oh, you mean online?
When you do it online.
Oh, so. Because
everyone's got ideas, you know, they want to jump in, they want to go. So how do you manage that?
Oh, I think I just let them, before they do anything, I just kind of remind them to be respect to each other. So I trust the improv people and they trust each other as well. So it goes smoothly. And if someone too much kind of talkative or too much excited about something, I just kind of in Zoom you have the kind of personal chat, and you can kind of send a direct chat to that person to kind of remind them. But normally I don't have to do that. They're really nice.
Yeah.
You're being too funny. Stop it. Stop being so funny. Let other people have a turn.
Yeah.
You should just mute their mic.
Get out of the spotlight.
Mute them.
End this meeting.
Stand up.
That is so great, muting mics. That's that needs to be brought into real life somehow, you know. That's so useful.
Yeah.
You just do that to people.
So true.
So many situations.
Yeah. You can okay, now I will put you in the waiting room. In the waiting room.
That's a good idea.
5 minute timeout, yeah.
Also, Tan, you mentioned you also do improv in Vietnamese, and I imagine it's like a different challenge to do improv in English.
Yeah.
So what's that like? And I'm also how do you translate all those terminologies into Vietnamese?
We still kind of in the transition of kind of Vietnamalize. I don't know if there is a word, but making things Vietnamese. So that we still use the English term short form, long form, the names Harold or even the village or pretty flowers at the formats that we use.
What are you going to change Harold to?
It's just Harold.
Is it going to be Hui or Huai?
No. It's just a name. So there's a lot of terms that we still not able to translate it yet. So I still kind of see the struggle of the people who don't speak English well because they're not kind of really familiar with the term. So I have to kind of use a long sentence to explain to them what is short form, what is long form, this kind of stuff. But I have a kind of vision to kind of make a improv dictionary for Vietnamese people. But I want to do that, but I don't know when I can finish it. But go back to the, to the wet question. I think the biggest challenge is the topic because for example, you do stand up, you know, for the topic, you can do kind of something about sex. something about like other country or like something about the government. But in Vietnamese, especially when your parents is in the audience, no, that a big no.
Yeah, that's your big thing too, you know.
For example, I really kind of like remember the first time after I graduated the 101 class and I joined the show in Pirate Den, I remember. And like there was a game named Sex With Me. So like basically it's a game that you have to use your imagination. Like the audience will give a suggestion. For example, Sex With Me is like, and then the audience will say stroller. So like you have to say that Sex With Me is like a stroller because something. So you,
a stroller.
Yeah, stroller. Or yeah, something. Yeah, I don't remember.
What's a stroller?
Stroller.
Where you put your baby in.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, well, there you go. Sex With Me is like a stroller.
Yeah.
That's where you put your baby
in. Yeah. So that, like, I didn't kind of, like, I didn't know that I was good at it until I play it. But, like, in Vietnamese, I cannot play that game. It's not my personality.
Yeah, I remember. Do you remember what you said? I actually remember what you said.
Yeah.
It was like sex. Do you remember what you said?
Oh, what did I say?
It was Sex With Me is like a shopping trolley.
Yeah.
And Tang said, Sex With Me is like a shopping trolley. You can fit a lot of things inside it.
Oh my God.
I was so shocked because that's about one of the first times I met Tang. I was like, oh, it's an innocent young Vietnamese girl.
No, she's not.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah. So with improv, you kind of like discover a lot of aspects of your personality.
Yeah. Sex With Me is like one of the funniest games ever, actually.
Yeah.
So like, are there like some kind of formats that you guys afraid of doing that, you know, like is this so hardcore or is this like very sophisticated that you guys are a little bit afraid?
Well, I mean, there's lots of technical stuff, like I don't know, like how interesting it is for people that don't know much about improv, but like the Harold that Tang mentioned, like that's, I don't even totally understand it myself, but it's like it's a particular format with like 9 different scenes in total. I might be wrong, but it's very specific. And there's like rules about who can go in the first scene, the second scene, and the third scene. So, yeah, there are lots of different formats and styles to improv. And some of them are more challenging than others. Generally, like entry level improv, like both for audiences and like performers, is like short form, kind of like, whose line is it anyway? So maybe like puns, like the Sex With Me is like in the word, and you have to kind of make up a pun in the spot, or kind of simple games like limitations. You can't say certain words, or you have to speak with sentences of a certain length. Or there's lots of different styles of games. And then beyond that kind of game playing aspect or short form, as we call it, then you're moving into like all the other stuff like the Harold and everything else. So that this encompasses so many things.
Okay.
Wow.
And
are we going to play any games?
Now?
Yeah, well, we're getting to that.
All right.
Thank you so much for sharing all of your wisdom. You know, just your wisdom and experience about improv. Now Hui and I can actually thinking about joining improv. And be happier people.
Yeah.
Comedian.
Actually, I watch a few improvs with Tan, right?
You were in the low yesterday, right? The open stage online.
I was there. Yeah. Thanks for remembering me. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. So, are we ready to play some games?
Ooh.
Improv.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I may have to go soon, but Yeah. Now I'm fine.
No worries. We're going to play one quick game. So you guys lead, and we will follow.
Oh.
Oh, okay. So we have. Of course, you didn't research what game you want us to play in the usual style of this podcast. I don't know. What should we start with?
We could do. We could obviously do Sex Like Me. Sex with me. Sex like me.
Should we start with that? Because it's so easy.
Easy because you're really good at it.
No.
But yeah, sure.
I don't think so though.
when you say you're really good at it, you mean like you're really good at sex or you're really good at improv?
Bit of both, you know. But yeah, there's that or hashtag or tell the story, yes and.
What's hashtag?
Hashtag tweets. So everybody says one word to make a tweet. And then if the next person thinks, oh, that's the end of the tweet, they say hashtag. And the next person has got to hashtag the tweet.
Okay. Yeah, I really like that game. It's kind of like really cool.
It's very cool.
For the audience.
Yeah, yeah. It's a nice collaborative one too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Should we do that? Actually,
yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, we can all join it. Yeah. So,
okay,
let's go in. I don't know if we're all in order. I've got on my screen Bex, Nya, Hui, Sam, Tang,
and Thomas.
Yep. And Thomas, of course.
He's still in the waiting room, mate.
Okay, so basically, just keep adding one word. I'll start, and then whoever thinks it's the time, they say hashtag, and the next person says the hashtag, and then the following person will start the new tweet.
Okay.
Today. Nia?
Is.
So the order is Bex, Nia, Hui, Sam, Tang, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, and then like we say like one word, one person.
Okay, today
is
banana
pancake
day.
Hashtag
chicken.
Okay, sure. Okay, so if we start a new one.
So hang on, I don't get it. After the end of the hashtag, what happens?
You have to, so for example, you have to make a hashtag up which sums up the tweet.
Ah. So you have to repeat every word.
So yeah? You know how you would use hashtag at the end of tweets to kind of associate the topic of the tweet?
Yeah.
So that you can so people can find it.
Yeah. For example, like.
Okay, so the first people are composing the tweet. Then when you say hashtag, the next person has to say the hashtag that summarizes what everyone else says.
Yeah.
Yeah. It makes sense it's kind of summarizes what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. For example, like before we have, today is the banana pancake day, and then hashtag, we can say that I have a big banana or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good one, Tang.
Right, start again.
Okay. Hui, do you want to start?
Yeah.
Saturday.
Is
the
perfect
occasion.
For
hashtag.
Huh?
Hui, you said for, right?
Yeah.
It's the perfect occasion for. So I think.
Okay. I see what you're doing next.
Ah, okay. Oh, Sam just said hashtag?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Anything.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Come.
What?
On.
Oh, come on, guys.
me.
Oh, who are you, right?
Yes, me. Me, yeah. Let's go with me. Yeah.
Come on.
Hashtag Kleenex.
Who did you
say hashtag Sam?
Yeah.
Oh, what did Hui say? I missed it.
Me.
Me.
Come on, me.
Mm.
Yeah.
Hashtag I'm mad.
What? Okay, let's switch to sex like me. Sex like me. Like me, okay, is my heart.
You mean sex with me?
Yeah. I mean, sex like me is just so fabulous. I don't know.
word is
charger.
Charger.
Ooh. Sex with me is like a charger. You can fit it into any socket.
Oh, we can go like whatever order is it, right? Whoever come up with that.
Yeah,
anyone.
Sex with me is like a charger because it will bring you energy.
Ooh.
Sex with me is like a charger. It might shock you.
Sex with me is like a charger because you will take at least 2 hours to finish it.
Ooh. Oh, good one.
Yeah. Sex with me is like a charger because I have to borrow it from a friend.
Sex with me is like a charger because it's broken.
Sex with me is like a charger. It's usually at home.
Sex with me is like a charger because I hope it's full.
Sex with me is like a charger. We can do it in some public place.
New word. Sex with me is like guitar.
That's so many puns there.
Sex with me is like a guitar. You can play me all night long, baby.
Sex with me is...
Sex with me...
Yeah, you go.
You go.
Oh, thank you. Sex with me is like... Sex with me is like a guitar because you can get creative.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sex with me is like a guitar. It's just me strumming alone in my room.
Sex with me is like a guitar because only I can pull the strings.
Mm.
Sometimes it sounds like a chat line, doesn't it?
sex with me is like a guitar. Sometimes my father will help me.
Sex with me is like a guitar. I need lessons.
Oh my god.
New word.
I got one more. Sex with me is like a guitar. I like to watch other people perform.
Sex with me is like a guitar because I can have a band.
Mm. Sex with me is like a guitar. There are many groupies.
Sex with me is like a guitar. I have a broken neck. I don't know. Just...
Okay. New suggestion? I have one we use a lot recently. Sex with me is like Zoom.
Zoom.
Yeah.
Sex with me is like Zoom. We only get 40 minutes for free.
Sex with me is like Zoom. You can host up to 100 people.
Hey.
Oh,
hey.
Sex with me is like Zoom because I have to wait for the host to let me in.
Sex with me is like Zoom. You don't see my face.
Sex with me is like Zoom. Sometimes you even cannot hear my voice.
Oh my god. It's like Zoom. Sometimes I am muted at inappropriate times.
Oh man.
Sex with me is like Zoom. There are a lot of noise.
Sex with me is like Zoom. You also can buy the education plan.
Oh, it didn't hear you. What did you say in here?
What did you say?
You also can purchase the education plan.
Wow, do you need that?
Beautiful. Yeah. Sex with me is like Zoom because I'm not really sure who's going to end the meeting first.
Okay, scene!
Fantastic. I think that's basically the final part of this recording. But before we go, do you have anything to plug, anything at all for on social media?
So that is the kind of like advertising time, right?
I think for Tang, you would be the one for that.
I will have a lot. Cause like, if, you are Vietnamese and if you're listening to this podcast, so like, I know we have a lot of online events going on. Like we have a kind of like game-based improv on Wednesday, and then short form improv on Friday, and then like, not related to improv, but like stand up open mic on Saturday or on Zoom or Google Meet. And sometimes we have workshops as well. So do check out hahahanoi.com. And also like, besides Hahanoi, we also started some community in Saigon with Saigon Improv House and like Da Nang Improv in Da Nang as well. And Bex is doing some improv workshop in Hoi An, so maybe you want to talk about this a bit?
Yeah, I'm not sure for how long I'm going to be here. It's kind of on the fly. I was meant to be leaving Hoi An yesterday, so the fact that I'm even going to do a little one tomorrow is the surprise for everyone, including me, which is great. but I probably will be here now until at least another 2 weeks. So, if you're in Hoi An and you speak English and you'd like to take part in my workshop, look out for it on the Hoi An, Facebook pages. I'll be posting there.
Fantastic. Yeah. So, follow Hanoi, on social media and their website. For events, for more information, and also follow Hoi An Improv. If you're
in
Hoi An,
London, I don't have any friends. So
yeah, and Yeah, and make friends with Sam. Yeah, he's lonely.
Yeah, you have a lonely improviser here.
Yeah.
No.
I've been doing a lot of improv.
We miss you, Sam.
But yeah, thank you so much, guys. First of all, thank you to all of our guests, Bex, Sam, and Tan, and also to our panelists, Hui Duan. Thank you so much. Look out for Xunjiao Homie podcast on all your favorite platforms and social media. Thank you so much, and have fun, everyone.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Cheers, guys.
Have a nice weekend.